Tony Rita, Tectonic Metals, good afternoon. What's going on?
Good afternoon. I'm at the Rick Rule Symposium and presenting, exhibiting, all that fun stuff.
I was supposed to say that and I didn't. You're a good wingman. So how is this different now this year around than the other ones? And are you seeing money flow into the sector, the space?
Yeah.
And it seems just like last year was a great vibe. This seems like an even better vibe this year.
Well, proof is in the pudding, as they say. We announced a drill discovery back in March. It did get some attention, but in the same time, things kind of went status quo and quiet. We started sussing up more interest. We went live on a financing. It was announced at $7 million. That was announced in May. We closed on $13 million with demand close to $20.
Congratulations.
So has sentiment changed? I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's a good sign. From that financing and just interest, we're seeing a lot of ears perked up that didn't necessarily play the space or are coming back into the space. Mm-hmm. And so gold has definitely been the little darling. It's outperformed the S&P. That's got people's attention. You know, do I invest in bullion? Maybe the values in the exploration space where there are huge discounts, valuations that we haven't seen this low in decades.
Right.
So there's now, if you're a value investor, you know, our space looks like it's something that you definitely should pay attention to, especially if you like the thesis of investing in gold or leveraging that the rise in bullion. So the landscape has definitely changed. We have also a movement to homegrown resources. So countries, whether it's the United States or Canada or others, are now trying to reduce their dependency on other countries for commodities, critical minerals, things of that nature. And so
I want to pin that thought. That's
go
a really
for
good
it.
Thought, but let's pin it because I want you to keep on going.
Yep. So there's homegrown resources. The majors are back. They've demonstrated they can get their costs under control.
Right.
They are making money like you would not believe. So, for example, you know, a $100 increase in the gold price, you have someone like Newmont that's producing roughly 5 million ounces. Tack on $100 of profit that they didn't realize, tack on $1,000 of increase in bullion price that they didn't. They're now producing, I think it was even Agnico, just a quote that just comes to mind, the last quarter, was it $750 million of unrealized cash flow that they didn't have before. They're announcing dividends. So that landscape has changed for them and also brought confidence to the investors that, hey, maybe mining companies can actually make money and demonstrate that they can be somewhat predictable. And so we're seeing their share prices increase, we're seeing their balance sheets increase, and now, you know, are they going to start looking further down the food chain to the exploration stories that kind of got forgotten and lost? So I think that's another layer to the story that's changed from now to last year.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if I can share what really did it with me, it did it for me, I guess, as a whole with the industry recently. Just again, the price of gold going up, that's where you want to be. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
But I want to be specific with you, and I'll talk to my viewers and listeners here. I like to see a path to 5 million ounces in the ground. It doesn't have to have 5 million ounces proven or verified or whatever, but I like to see a path to 5 million ounces. Tony got my attention this morning. You got 10 million ounces. And I won't say exactly what I said, but that's a lot of gold. So I want to know more. I want you to work that out with me. Tell me what you have. Again, I want to hear it from you, what the potential is. And that in this kind of market, that's a big story. And that makes you very attractive in many different ways.
Yeah. So when we generate or acquire projects, we like to see a footprint that suggests something north of 5 million ounces, 10 million ounces. And I tell everyone, including my son, who's now investing into the space, is like, don't believe me or anyone else. Let the data do the talking. So to that point, we're in the mineral belt that's produced the fifth largest gold, undeveloped gold deposit in the world. It's called Donlin, 40 million ounces. Did Mother Nature just say, hey, we're just going to do one and stop right there? So being in a mineral belt that has the proven track record that can produce these large deposits, that's a good thing. So A, that's one piece of evidence that we're in the right belt of rocks. Secondly, our project called the Flat Gold Project, it was at one point, or sorry, it still is, the third richest placer mining jurisdiction in all of Alaska. So 1.4 million ounces of gold has come from our property that's been mined from the streams or creeks for the last century, from 1920 to 2000. So you have this rich placer gold endowment. That gold did not come from the skies. Our target, Chicken Mountain, has been credited as the source. So that's another piece of evidence. Okay, so we're two for two. Third piece of evidence, the geophysical anomalies. Yes, there are anomalies, but they have placer gold draining out of them. Every time a geophysical anomaly has been drilled, it's produced gold in drilling. Third piece. Fourth, 86 drill holes drilled to date at our main target, Chicken Mountain. Every hole has hit gold.
Did say that again. That's ridiculous.
86 drill holes and every hole has hit gold. I've been saying that for the last years and people are still like, is it really that the case? Yes, 100% drill success rate. So did we find, did us or the historical explorer, which by the way, another piece of evidence, Robert Friedland with Fairbanks Gold, who actually found and advanced the Fort Knox mine towards production, that's a Kinross mine, it's produced 9 million ounces of gold, they drilled the first discovery on this property. Why were they here? Well, they're trying to find another Fort Knox. Could that be construed as evidence that this could be a large system like Fort Knox? You know, I'll let you do what you want with that piece of anecdotal fact. The next thing I was saying is the 86 drill holes across 3 kilometers of strike has hit gold. Every drill hole has hit gold. Did we find the best stuff? I don't think so. I think we've done a great job, and historically the explorers have done a great job, but that is like, nothing gets better than 100% drill success rate. And everything's open in every which direction. And if you look at 3 kilometers of strike and look at the Fort Knox mine, which is 2 kilometers of strike, and other deposits, 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers of drill strike at a grade similar to Fort Knox, well, that's yielded 9 million ounces. So this is where I start to get excited, that is like, okay, here's the evidence why we should acquire it, why we continue to advance it, is that we believe we're onto something that is tier one scale.
Yeah, I would say, and this is my own opinion, this is not advice, I think you're there. The next question, and I think it's an amazing asset, absolutely amazing. This is, Tony's not telling this to me, slipping me money, just so everybody knows. I am not an investor as of the dropping of this video. That will more than likely be changing. But the other question is I have, okay, I believe in the asset. The other question I'm gonna have is, how do we get the asset out of the ground? Meaning, your biggest expenses or whoever owns this, I mean that with all due respect, they're gonna have to put in infrastructure, power, all of that.
Yeah.
Tell me how you're going to do that, how whoever's going to do that, tell me how you're going to make this into a metal golden bar.
Yep. Great question, and this is something that we do as part of our acquisition process. We call it the tectonic economic mine formula, where we take a project and put a hypothetical mining scenario right there on site. What would it look like? And so that, obviously we got the green light and all that, which is why we acquired it. But what the project, the way we envision it would be an open pit. There's multiple ways to process the gold, and this is driven by the metallurgical recovery, so the type of metallurgical extraction technique or method that you do. Not to get too technical, but the advantage that Flat offers is that we have multiple ways to process the gold. We're not confined to one processing path. So it's heap leachable. So the metallurgical data suggests that it's heap leachable. It suggests that it's free milling, conventional flotation, gravity, all of it works, so we can have a multitude of ways how to move forward. The cheapest way, traditionally speaking, with any project is heap leaching. Heap leaching requires, A, it's lower, the lowest capex, traditionally speaking, lowest operational cost, typically 10 times less energy required for heap leach mines versus non-heap leach mines. Typically lower all-in sustaining costs as a result, and also typically you can process lower grade material and make a lot of money. So we don't have the same energy or infrastructure demands that other projects have. Thankfully, also gold deposits or gold mines, you fly out your gold, technically or metaphorically speaking, in a briefcase. It doesn't require a concentrate.
Technically and metaphorically.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a heavy briefcase, mind you.
Yeah.
So you don't have a concentrate where you need extensive like rail power, things of that nature. And as I mentioned in my talk today, a lot of gold mines aren't traditionally located next to a power line
right. Or
a road. Yes, some are, but those deposits have been plucked. If you want to find a large scale 10 million plus ounce gold system, you typically have to go off grid, and they can be economical. In fact, one we sold 8 years ago for $520 million that is very reminiscent of the project we have. So it can work, and again, proof is in the pudding, but we believe our project has what it takes to make it economic, as is.
So we're going to take that pin out, and we're going to talk about federal, state, native lands. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if I've shared this with you in the past, but I'm from Alaska.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I am very familiar with this, but I want you to answer these questions.
So.
Federal lands typically, not always, but typically scare me. I have a lot of more questions because the navigation process and getting permitting can be a nightmare depending on where it's at.
Yeah.
It usually adds, I'm going to say, 2 to 5 years of getting a permit.
It can.
State lands are better. It speeds up the permitting process, but you're still looking at, I don't know, 3 to 5 years getting a permit. I'm thinking worst case scenarios or average worst case scenarios. Native lands are completely different. So my question is, what lands are you on, and how are you getting permitted, and what's the ETA?
Sure. So we are, by choice, on native-owned land.
So I'm going to talk to my viewers and listeners. Great answer, Tony. That's the answer I want to hear. Go ahead.
So one of the reasons why we moved into Alaska, yes, the mineral endowment is fantastic. 7 producing mines, great infrastructure for a northern jurisdiction. But we really wanted to work together in collaboration with the native corporations. So the one that we've partnered up with, they're called Doyle Unlimited. They're a for-profit native corporation. They also happen to be the largest private landowner in the state and one of the largest in the country. Their land holdings, 12.5 million acres. To put that into context, that's about the size of France. So put France, it literally is. So if you put France in Alaska as far as the shape, that's what you're dealing with. So they, about in 52 years ago, during the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, they selected their land predominantly based on mineral prospectivity. No matter where you go in the state, you bump into them. So their biggest deals with ConocoPhillips. They funded themselves an oil and gas rig called the Beast. You can Google it. $150 million. They said, hey, we got this. Don't worry, Conoco. Then here, go use this drill to explore. So that told me they were pro-business, they're pro-mining. And so going back to, so we wanted to work with them. We formed this partnership. We've done 5 mineral lease agreements with them. The latest one being this flat gold project, which we're talking about today. And if I want to build a road on site or do work directly on their land, I deal with them. So it is a much more streamlined process. Now, some of the holy grail permits for a mine, they do require federal approval, their state approval. But when we go there, the first thing the native corporation says is, this is our land. You know, and they don't want anyone telling necessarily what they want to do on their land, but they have to adhere to the rules and guidelines. But when we submit our applications, we're doing it collectively.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing, here's Tectonic's proposal, then go consult with the native corporation or the local communities or villages. No, we're doing it in tandem. If we go meet with a Barrick, we do it in tandem. If we go meet with a community, we do it in tandem. So it's very much a partnership. And what solidified that partnership even more, aside from the legally binding project agreement, is that they've actually elected at their own free will to become a shareholder in our company. So they've invested over $5 million into our company, endorsing our exploration on their land. And also, as someone that can cut checks north of 100 or 200 million, they could play a much larger role. So I agree with you. native land is, providing that they're pro-business, pro-mining, there's a partnership there,
right,
then it is way more streamlined, and it also resonates more with the federal and state regulatory bodies.
You typically, and you know more about this than I do, but that would be huge, I think, if you're a regulatory body or whoever's in charge, stamping a permit, I say that just in jest.
Yeah.
If you have a native corporation behind you, in partnership with you, and I mean that with all due respect, again, I am an Alaskan.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's huge getting through that process.
It totally is. And remember, they're for profit. And so the Native Corporation was designed and built by Congress to make money for their shareholders.
Yeah.
And so Doyon, this Native Corporation, has roughly 20,000 shareholders. And guess what? They've transformed as of the last 10 years. This is now $1.5 billion corporation with ties to the... So just as much as I like Alaska, guess who else likes Alaska? The White House.
Right.
And if they're going into Alaska, which the executive order, there was a White House executive order that said, literally called Unleashing Alaska's Resource Potential, guess who they're bumping into?
Right.
The Natives Corporations.
Native Corporations.
And so this is why, going back to the homegrown resources, and I do believe things are going to get easier on the permitting front, because everyone is pulling on that lever now. It's not just Tectonic saying, or any other junior mining company say, hey, we got to do this. This Native Corporation wants to make money. That's the intention of the corporation.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Tony, fantastic. If there's anything that you want to tell our viewers and listeners, really about a catalyst that you can't talk about,
Well, here's what I would end with. We went out with a $7 million capital raise. We raised $13 million. You know, you might think I'm nice and, you know, maybe I can speak well, sure. But that $13 million was predicated on the fact that we drilled a brand new discovery. So we now have three drills on that discovery. $13 million backing us. We're about a $50 million market cap, Canadian, mind you. So as far as catalyst, those drill results from this brand new discovery, which, by the way, going back to that Placer Gold Endowment, it tested the source of 650,000 ounces of placer gold. This is the most prolific creek on our property. It's the one of the most prolific in Alaska. Did Mother Nature say, hey, we're gonna put 650,000 ounces in this placer creek and the source is gonna be shitty or maybe not as good? So the drilling is gonna answer that question. We found the source. Is it as big, or is the bedrock source as big or as high grade as the gold source? So those drill results will be out in August, and we will have continuous drill results right through to the end of the year. So stay tuned.
So everybody, drill results are coming out in August, and stay tuned to the end of the year. Tony, how do people find you? What exchanges are you traded on? What are your tickers?
Traded on, the primary exchange is the TSX Venture, symbol TECT. We're also on the OTCQB, which is a U.S. listing under TETOF, www.tectonicmetals.com. My email, tony@tectonicmetals.com. We have a sign-up page on our website. Always love interacting with my shareholders and potential investors, so please do reach out. That's one of the benefits of coming to these conferences. Rick Rule does a fantastic job, but you actually get to meet the people that started these companies. And you know, you can invest in a ticker symbol, you can invest in a website, but looking someone in the eyes and saying, hey, you know what, I'm gonna bet on this jockey, I think that takes on a whole different flavor. So if you're here, come out and say hi, and or catch us at another conference. We're pretty active in the on the conference schedule.
Yes, you are, and I couldn't agree with everything that you said more. So Tony, I'll put all of this in the show notes.
Thank you.
On the YouTube channel and Apple and Spotify. I wanna thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure, and really looking forward to being an investor, I have not invested yet, but following the story.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Andy.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.